We praise you. We worship you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Father God, we ask you with a humble heart to be you speaking to the church and not me. I want you to remove anything that is in my understanding, in my knowledge, in my head, in my mind, and be you speaking to the church. Be you leading the church. Be you talking, not me. Holy Spirit, touch the hearts, the minds, and transform according to the will of our Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So last weekend we talked about little strength. And that little strength is based on the revelation to the Church of Philadelphia. And that topic, it brings to us a knowledge of understanding that any way that we have little strength, God, it keeps supporting us, helping us, giving us the strength to continue moving forward. That is not depending on our physical strength to do things. It's God's will that is allowing us to move forward and sustaining us. And today we'd like to continue talking a little bit of the same topic, because what we learn from the revelation that Jesus Christ talked to the church in Philadelphia, it was that he owns the key of King David. And those keys can open doors that nobody can open, and nobody can shut those doors. It's just God. Jesus Christ has the ownership. He's the leader that he can open doors, close doors, and nobody can do anything else. So if he's the God that can do that, and that's the God that you and I were serving and believing and worshiping, I think we are in a good side. We are in the right path. And that's a blessing. Blessing to understand that we have that Father God in our side, that he can help us and continue helping us to move forward and believing in him and trusting in everything that he's doing in our life. Today, I want to talk about a topic that he, you know how God talks to our hearts and life, right? Sometimes he keeps like, I can use the word maybe ponder, or like he keeps like, hey, I'm talking to you, hey, I'm talking to you. And it is really interesting the way that he always talk. At least for my experience, it is that I'm walking, I think it was in a store, a grocery store, and this guy have I think it was a hoodie or maybe a jacket, I don't know, but in his back, he have the big word saying, faith over fear. And then the next day, I'm just looking at an email that I have from a service provider or company named pray.com, and they always send a scripture and some words and some encouraging things and all biblical. And fair enough, it was exactly the same topic. Faith over fear. That was the topic. And that's the topic that I want to share with you guys today. Faith over fear. Because right now, I believe that's one of the times that we are facing right now. A lot of fear. Things happening in church. Things happening outside of church. Things happening in the politics side. Things that is happening at work. Things that is happening in your life. And those things always bring fear. And that fear, it brings that uncertainty of, I don't know what's going to happen. How I can manage this. I don't have control of these things. And because I don't have control, then that make me feel fear. That fear controlling our life. Fear that is then removing the faith. And now fear is the one that is leading everything. What is not supposed to be like that. And when I was studying these, God blessed me with a new word that I know is out there. But something that between me and him, I was just reading it. And then it's like, wow, this is a blessing. And again, I'm just trying to pass that to you guys, and hopefully that's going to be a blessing for you guys too. Okay? And when I was studying, I read a story about a teacher giving some learning to this student, and the student, it was getting ready for what the teacher assignment was, which it was, you need to get ready for a battle. And you have to present do the whole presentation about a battle between you and fear. So the teacher gave all the tools, the weapons, everything that that student needs to use in order to fight with fear. The day came, and then when the student was in one side of the room, she was standing in front of her opponent or his opponent, and it was fear. So then the question that the student asked to fear, it was like, I'm just going to present to you fairly with respect and say, I'm going to fight with you. And fear respond, and again, this is just a presentation, guys. And fear responds saying, wow, thank you for your respect to me to ask me before we go into battle to ask me that we are going to fight. And then the student asks fear and say, what is the weapons that you have? And I can present my weapons to you. And this is something that we learned from a movie also about in order to defeat your enemy, you need to know your enemy. What is the tools that they are using so that way you can understand and fight against those things. And fear start telling to the student, well, I talk really loudly and I talk really fast, even to the point that I don't give you opportunity to talk or to bring anything against me. And also, I'm doing it face-to-face to you. And the student says, okay. Thank you for sharing that. Because then, now the student knows that I'm not going to give you opportunity to talk fast, to talk low, and even to be close to me. And the only way that I can defeat you, it is not doing those things, not allowing you to do those things in my life. So that way fear can flee out of your life. Fear is, it is all over the place. My fears, they're not going to be the same fears of yours. Your fears is not the same like mine. So it's different fears. Can we overcome them? Yes. Can we defeat them? Yes. All the time. And all those things, we can do it through Jesus Christ, through the Lord, through God. And hopefully today I can show that through the scripture and leave you those scriptures to you guys, and you guys can take it and use it in your benefits like I'm also doing it for my life. And I want to start today talking about Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go over there. No, sorry. Let's go Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, you know the story. This is the fallen story, right? Or fall from the humankind. I know we always kind of go over there, but it's always the point of everything. That's where everything starts, and from there we can learn how we can live our life more smarter. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothe them. And the Lord God says, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now let's go to chapter, still in 3, but verse, let's go to verse 6. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. Pay attention. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. And they realized they were naked. So they sew fig leaves together and make coverings for themselves. Now let's go to 2:25. 2:25, he says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. The first point that I want to share with you guys today is naked. Not literally, I'm talking spiritually. Okay? Spiritually. Because according to Scripture, God in 2:25, right? Yes. 2:25, he say both were naked, but both of them were not ashamed. Understanding what is the meaning of naked in Hebrew, it means that you are exposed. Aram is the right word in Hebrew. You are exposed. Now, the humankind, they are exposed at that moment. They're naked, but they were not ashamed. Talking spiritually, I'm not talking about physically, like. So you are exposed, but you don't feel any shame. And now God gave an instruction to Adam, and he just said, I'm going to put you on the garden, and then I'm just going to tell you just to work the land. That's it. And do not eat from this tree. Just have that picture. God is giving me just this commandment. Work in the land. Don't eat from this tree. Both of you are naked. You guys cannot feel shame. And now when you go to chapter number 3, after that moment, it is a nice revelation when it says that their eyes were open. Bless you. I almost called this message, God wants you to be blind. Almost, but I didn't call it like that because I know it's kind of like, go after that. But pay attention, because right now God, he says, you're naked. There's nothing against that. There's nothing covering you. There's nothing protecting you. You are just not seeing that you're naked. And right now, nowadays, you and I, that we're facing too many things in our life, our eyes are paying attention to all the things. You know that, and I know that. What is happening right now with the politics? What is happening right now? People are killing each other. What is happening right now over there? Too many things. And our eyes are just going that direction. And because our eyes are going that direction, now we can see. We're not blind to those things. But I think God wants us to be blind to those things. Let me get over there. I know. Because the way that you and I grew, we always think like we need to know what's going on out there so we can know what we're going to do or how we're going to react. Right? That's always knowledge, learn more, and understanding more things. Right now we have, let me call it, an agency out there looking for people so they can be deported. Fear. And that's why you're paying attention. And that's what the people are paying attention. But God wants us to be paying attention to that or to Him. Because most of the time we remove the eyes out of the picture, out of looking for God's blessing or for what God is doing in our life, and we are just fixing our eyes to those things. They were naked, but their eyes were not paying attention to the nakedness until they break that commandment. And according to Scripture in chapter 3, it says, Then, in 7, then the eyes of both of them were open. Whoa. So I was blind. I was naked all the time. But then my eyes were open after breaking that rule, that commandment. That he just told me, work the land, do not eat from this tree. That's it, simple. But then soon we break that, my eyes open. And now I can see. And now, because right away when that happened, the scripture, I believe that is really specific, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked right away. Why is so important to point it out that when their eyes were open, they were just realized that they were naked? Because that's going to bring shame. And according to the scripture, it says here, sewed fig leaf together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Fear. Now my faith, get out of the picture. Because now I'm not working the land anymore, and I break the rule. I break the commandment. I was naked. My eyes are open now. Now I can see the nakedness. And now I'm fear. I don't want my Father God seeing me like this. And that's the fear that you and I face every day. Your fears, my fears. But God is telling us, don't do that. Don't let your eyes be open to the things out there. Just fix your eyes on me. So that way your eyes are not going to be open to those things. Because when their eyes are open, according to Scripture, it says that the knowledge of good and evil is coming. And because the knowledge of good and evil is coming, now you are afraid, because now you start thinking, what is going to happen to my life? What my Father God is going to do to me? Or what is going to be happening right now if I lose my job? Or what happened if something like this happened to my house? Or something like this happened to my son, my daughter, my wife, my mom and dad, and fear. And God is telling you, don't worry about it. Be blind to those things. Don't let your eyes be open to those things, because then you can see the shame and fear is getting into your heart and mind. And fear will control you. And that's what happened the rest of the whole story. The difference that we can see over here and that we can learn is that from this word, we also learn about the disgrace and grace. Because the grace of God is the one that is a merit favor that you're receiving. But then the disgrace is removing that honor that God is giving you to be in relationship with Him. And soon we do that, then the disgrace is coming. And fear will show up and control everything. Now, continue learning more about this. In Hebrews 12:2, we know this scripture. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everything is over there. But it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's the pioneer and the perfecter of the faith over fear. how he can do that or how he did that, because the joy was set before him and that helped him to endure the cross, scorning its shame. And remember, the shame is coming because your eyes are open to the things that you're not supposed to pay attention. According to Scripture, you're going to serve one of two gods, not just one. Sorry, you serve just one, but not both. So if your eyes are fixed on those things, that's going to get in the priority over God. But if your eyes are fixed to God, then the other things around you are going to be less. And God has the control of everything. Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. This is David. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, if you are fixed, your eyes are fixed to the things out there, and your fear are more in those things, not fear to the Lord, then question, it will be the angel of the Lord, it will encamp with you or not? Because your fear is with there, with the stuff over there, not with him. That respect that you have, that honor that you have to God, if you have it, if you can get it, then the angel of the Lord will encamp around you and your family and protect you and provide you everything that you need. He will deliver all your he will deliver you out of your enemies. We need to focus more on Jesus, more on God, more on the Holy Spirit, not in the other things around. The other things around, they will be continuing being there. But you are the one, me and you, we are the one prioritizing those things, giving the first place to those things, not to God. So it's our responsibility to say, no, I want to give the first place to God. And God is the one leading. God is the one, not those things. It is a great story that we continue learning more about David, because David, remember, he was with fear. This is him writing a song when he was just running from Saul. And he was in a cave trying to be covered, protected over there, trying to save his life because Saul, King Saul, in that moment, it was looking for him to kill him. Now you have King David in the cave writing these songs saying, deliver me, Father God. And Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David was blind to those things, because he anyway was acknowledging God as his father, and he was giving the primary place to God, not to King Saul or whatever troubles he having. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Man, right? That's the type of hearts that we need to have. Fixing our eyes to those things and to God. Not those things. We need to be blind to those things. And the revelation, it is in Genesis. You can see that they were, all the time they were over there, exposed to that. God created them like that. God created you and me like that. We are exposed. In the eyes of God, we are exposed. He knows you and me. You and me, we're just going to try to cover ourselves with the fig leaves, which is something that it will wither, something that it will be temporary, something that you and me, we're just covering between all, each of us, so that way we can be righteous. But He knows, you and I, we're exposed in front of Him. That's why then after that, because according to Scripture, in order to be redeemed, you have to kill an animal. The only way is by shedding blood. A clean, pure animal. That's why God, that was the first sacrificial in Genesis. God Himself killed an animal and dressed Adam and Eve with the skin of an animal, which is more perdurable, more long-lasting, is going to be covering more, it will be protecting more, and from the eyes of God, now He can see you. He can protect you. He can see the righteousness because He Himself killed an animal, shed the blood of that animal, purified, clean animal, and cover you, which is the same representation of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ died for you and for me. So that way we can be covered and be righteous. Revelations chapter 3. It says, "You say, I am rich." Now, this is to the last of the seven church. "You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me," this is Jesus Christ talking, "refined in the fire, gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness." "And salve to put on your eyes, so you can see." We talk about nakedness. We talk about naked. Now, I want to talk about a little bit of eyes because it's all related to everything. The eyes were open, but then also He's talking to this church and He's talking that He's going to put something on their eyes. Okay? Let's go to John 9. John 9. This story is Jesus Christ healing a blind person, or how I can say, a natural blind person from born, a person that from birth, he was blind. And His disciples were asking Him, "Hey, Master," or "Rabbi, what sin did this person commit to be blind? Or what his father did to be blind?" And this is the type of conversation that Jesus Christ blew your mind. Because that's why you and I, we have in our mind and our hearts, because the way that we learn, maybe in the past, maybe in our houses, I don't know. And it is that mentality of, that person is going through that situation, through that sin, it's because they did something wrong. And Jesus Christ, according to Scripture in John 9, He say, He didn't do anything, His father didn't do anything. He's for the works of my Father God, so that way He can be glorified on this moment right now. So that person was blind for many years, but it was for the glory of God, that God wants to glorify Himself. And according to Scripture in John 9:20, Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, in that moment, He just spit on the ground, create this salve, and then put it on the eyes of this person, that blind person. Question to you, because I know we have that tendency, and I'm including myself. We think like maybe that spit from Jesus Christ have magical powers. I don't know, maybe. We don't know. But Jesus Christ gave a guidance to that person, like a commandment. He say, He put that on the eyes of the blind person and say, go to Siloam, I think so is the name. It's a place where he needs to go and clean what Jesus Christ put on his eyes. Question. Just take it to you and study yourself, because the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Do you think that if that person say, I'm not going over there, will that person will be cured from the blindness? I don't know. But I can tell you that the person was following the commandment of Jesus Christ, and he walked over there, and then when he cleans, now he can see. By faith. Removing that specific thing that Jesus Christ created when he spit on the ground, that person recover, or now he can see, because he born like that. And now this created a commotion over there. Now we have the Pharisees and other people, who heal you, or who bring you the sight? Jesus. Wait a second. How? He just put this thing on my eyes. He told me go over there. And I just follow that. And I just believe. I have faith. And when I clean it up, I can see now. Praise God. Nah, I cannot believe that. Let me double check more with his parents and see. That's you and me. Sometimes we face those things. And then when they ask the mom and dad, they say, I know for sure that's my son. I know for sure he was blind. Who or how? I don't know. You can ask him. He's older enough to know what's going on or who did this. That's what it says in verse 20, chapter 9. We know he is our son, the parents answer. And we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents say this because, come on, they were afraid. They can see what's going on around. They were afraid of the Jewish leader who already has decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah will be put out of the synagogue. I don't want to get kicked out of the synagogue because we are getting involved with the society. We're getting involved with the politicians, of politics, and everything like that. And I don't want to be getting to that level of being, I'm afraid, I'm fear. Because my eyes are not fixed to Jesus or to God, are fixed to the things that is going around. And I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to be affected in the society. That was what the parents literally they were saying. They were afraid. And that's how the fear gets in the hearts of the human being. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. I don't know. He's my son, but I'm not going to get involved in that. Now, this is the open eye. John 9:39. Now, Jesus Christ, in the same topic, we're talking about the same thing. Jesus Christ now is talking to the blind guy. And he say, let's go over there. John 9. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. We're talking about this is the blind guy, or the one that he was blind. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Wait a second. Jesus Christ, speed, create this, put it over there, go over there, clean up, now you can see. And after that event, Jesus Christ is meeting with him again and say, do you believe in the Son of Man? What? So I got healed, But I never profess or never say that I believe in you. But I have faith and belief in what you say in that moment. And now that you are facing to me and say, do you believe in the Son of Man? Because that's the one that is talking to you right now. And this guy, the blind guy, say, I believe. After the event. So what is that telling you and me? Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man say, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus say, this is the revelation, guys. Not me. It's what it says over there. The scripture 39:39, John. For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Who he's talking about? Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and ask, what? Are we blind too? Jesus says, if you were blind, you will not be guilty of sin. Oh, come on. So now he's saying, if you are blind, Genesis, remember, if you were blind, you will not be guilty. Almost I call it that the sermon that way. God wants you to be blind. Blind for those things. That he don't want you to fix your eyes on it. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Break the commandment. Eyes were open. Now I can see naked. Shame. I'm hidden from my Father God. He wants you to be blind to those things. He wants me to be blind to those things. And fix my eyes on him only. That way the fear will flee from our life. I'm going to leave you with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. We know this is scripture. This is ESV translation. This is the last and third point. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. That's a spirit that you and I have. But of power, love, and self-control. He gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-control. That's the thing that we need to understand in our life. That we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, power, and self-control. And that will help us to understand that we don't own fear. Fear is not something that is in us. We bring it in our life. When we are fixing our eyes on those things, 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us. So we will have confidence on the day of judgment. That day is coming. Be ready. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. So according to this scripture, if there's fear in our hearts, there's no love. But if there's love, then there's no fear. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. The only way that we can understand the love of God, the love that you have right now, because you have the Spirit of the Lord in your life, and the Spirit of the Lord in your life, is He have love. So that love, it is understanding that He loved you first than anything and anyone else. And that will move out fear. And now you are being blessed and controlled by God, not by fear. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Guys, that's old stuff. That's past. Forget about fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Heirs, sorry. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. John 14:25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And the last one, but not least, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive the power, or power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You have the Spirit of power, love, and self-control. Those three things remove fear out of your life. And the only way that fear is showing in your life is because your eyes are open. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Their eyes were open. And now they can see them naked. And now they're ashamed. So now fear is controlling their life. Don't try to cover it like with the fig leaf. Let God cover you and protect you. Let God dress you with His righteousness. When we were talking last week about Revelation, we cannot just be focused on the gospel and Jesus Christ, right? Because there's so many scriptures in the Bible that we can learn and grow and understand. There's things that according to scripture and Revelation, it's going to happen. We believe in that. We believe in that prophecy. So, if you fix your eyes in God, those things that is coming, it's coming anyway. But fear will not be in your heart and your mind because your eyes are fixed with Him, just with Him. Instead of thinking about, I'm sorry, I'm in there too. I'm talking to myself. Instead of thinking about storms, demons, condemnation, and all that stuff that is going out there, and I know it's real because we believe in that and I experience those things. I came from that environment, I know. However, fix your eyes in Jesus. Just focus on that. Those things are going to continue over there, I know. It's still over there. But instead of doing that, let me just focus on Him. give him the first place in everything. Giving him the priority in everything. Because the judgment day is going to happen. It's coming. And I don't know how you guys are seeing, and that's why we might be also talking about this topic, how everything is going on around the world right now. Too many things happening. And that brings fear. But it brings fear because we are focusing on those things. Focus on God. Revelation 16, 15. In Spanish, it's called the cups. In English, I think it's the bowls that it's talking about in Revelation 16 when the angels drop those during the suffering. But then it gets to this chapter, this scripture verse in 15. Jesus Christ says, "Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed." The time and the hour, we don't know. Nobody knows. Even Jesus Christ says in the Bible, in the gospel, "I don't know." Even the Son says, "I don't know when it's going to be the time." My Father God is the only one that knows when it's going to be the time that He's coming or that I will be back. Jesus Christ. Nobody knows. Stay awake and remain clothed by Him, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are naked. Yeah, you're naked. I'm naked also. It's there. But my eyes are blind to those things. My eyes are focusing on Him, fixed on Him. I'm not seeing the naked. I'm just serving Him and loving Him and worshiping Him. That was the original thing. So that way you can be ready when He show up. Amen. Father God, thank You. I just share what I think it is the blessing and message that You want to share with the church. So I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that You are continuing helping us and providing us the revelation of Your scripture, and we receive it and we apply it, and we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that You are protecting us, covering us. We don't know when You're coming back, Jesus. We just want to be ready. Please help us to be ready. We believe and trust in You, in the scripture, and we declare in the name of Jesus Christ for everyone here right now that You are blessing them and covering them and protecting them. And anyone that is not here today because they are out there in vacation or in another place having a good time, we bless them and we send blessing over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, bless the community, bless the world. Save them in the name of Jesus. We thank You for everything that You're doing and that You are continuing doing in our life. Thank You. Thank You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.